Thank you, Charlene. Beautiful song again this morning. Thank you so much for blessing us with your gift. The gospel reading this morning is a lectionary from our lectionary gospel readings. Lectionary gospel readings are annual readings consisting of Old Testament and New Testament and New Testament epistle reading and then gospel reading as we are. Is what is before us this morning. Now, some churches don't follow lectionary readings. Many churches do. I'd say mainline churches mostly do follow lectionary reading schedule. Once in a while, I feel comfortable to step aside a little bit because I thought that a guy who wrote it down in the office didn't know what I was thinking to preach this morning. Because obviously somebody was sitting in his office and writing it down for us, and we all follow what this guy was thinking about. But it is challenging, actually, to as a preacher, to follow lectionary readings because you can't preach about your favorites all the time. It gives you a little bit wider, more variety, more brighter variety to preach. And this is why it is challenging. For example, this gospel reading this morning, it's a wonderful to read it too, as long as it is. But then to start preaching about it, there are so many layers in the Bible, and you can approach it from different angles. This is why the Word of God is endless resources for you. If you have read something true and you say, I already got it, I already read it, so you don't know really what you are dealing with. But here in our gospel reading this morning, according to John 4:5-4:42, not reading it true again, but Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life, flowing up, bubbling up to eternal life. Now, if we were there in her shoes, in the shoes of this Samaritan woman, would it be all clear to us what Jesus possibly meant? I don't think so. But when we think about, we go back on that one. When we think of a Samaritan, we probably think of the good Samaritan from the Gospel of Luke, which is the parable we all remember Jesus shared in the Gospel of Luke. Now there, the Samaritan is the hero of that story. It's a way different context. They have different situation. But when we talk about Samaritans and Jews, it makes it easy for us to forget that Samaritans and Jews did not get along very well in the Jesus' time. They didn't. Jews look Samaritans down, and Samaritans believe that they have all the reasons to be Samaritans, and they have their own religion and a way of worship as well. And yet here we are in today's gospel reading with a story about a lengthy conversation that Jesus had with a Samaritan woman. Even this woman was surprised as she says, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of water of me, a woman of Samaria? This woman is not just a Samaritan. She's a Samaritan who has had five husbands, and then the man she's living with is not her husband. That's what the reading says. So this woman chooses to draw water at the heat of the day to avoid seeing other people. Maybe to avoid seeing especially other women. Who needs Jesus? She needs Jesus. And she needs healing. And she needs to be reconciled to her community as well. She needs Jesus, most definitely. And is there one thing that we know about Jesus? If there's one thing we know about Jesus, it is that Jesus reaches out to people just like this woman, all right? But just like you and just like me, there's no difference. There's no difference. Her having five husbands, but then the husband, man he's living with, doesn't make her any worse than we are. We need as much Jesus as she did, but she definitely needed Jesus. Let's go back to story. I think this is powerful and very beautiful exchange between Jesus and this unnamed Samaritan woman. And she has so much to teach to us this morning. Not just about Jesus' love for outsiders, but also our relationship with Jesus. As somebody who's been following Christ for quite some time, I think every time when we hear these gospel narratives, the stories, it happened to me every time, it gives me the reason to adjust my heart a little bit, my faith relationship with the Lord, because I find always something to be adjusted. I don't know whether it's happening to you or not, but it happens to me every time. Because in a way, we all are outsiders until we are reconciled to God through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. We all outsiders. This is what Apostle Paul says in our epistle reading this morning to his letter to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. He says, "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." Now, you don't hear Paul say that while some of you, the worst of you, were still sinners. No, Paul says, when we all were still sinners. In the eyes of God, they are not worse sinners or little sinners. We all sinners. So first of all, we are this morning at Jacob's Well with Jesus. At Jacob's Well with Jesus will be another reason for another sermon to preach about what Jacob's Well is all about. I have visited, by the way, that place. And if you go to Israel one of these days, or if you are planning to go to Israel, by the way, don't believe radio or TV. It's perfectly safe to go to Israel. That's the probably safest place to be as a tourist. Safest place to be. They take care of you. Now, and I've been visited there for 3 times, and it is always a dream come true place to visit. And all the biblical matters, all your ideas finding place when you go and see that country, that land, which is squeezed, surrounded by many times people who want to destroy Israel. But anyway, the story here begins in Samaria at a famous well called Jacob's Well. Jesus is on his way back to Galilee, as the scripture says. But his journey takes him through Samaria. Now, this is something that Jews don't do. They didn't go through Samaria. They just didn't want to go there. So he stopped to rest at this particular well. It is about noon, as the story tells us. So the disciples have gone off in search of some lunch, as the scripture says. A Samaritan woman approaches the well at this unusual time of day, the hottest season, hottest time of the day. People didn't normally come to well, so she has her reasons because she wanted to avoid seeing people. She has reason to avoid seeing people. So we are already given our first clue about this woman of Samaritan. When she arrives at the well, she sees this Jewish man who turns out to be Jesus. Quite unexpectedly, this man asks her for a drink of water. And this must have surprised this lady greatly, because a Jewish man should not be talking to a woman, especially certainly not to a Samaritan woman. But Jesus did exactly that. He talked to this woman. He recognized this woman. He wanted to share with this woman. So we are reminding first thing here in this story that Jesus does not care what country we are from, what group of people we belong to, or even what we believe. Samaritans and Jews believe so very differently. But Jesus does care about everyone. He cares for you and he cares for me. If we are a child of God, he cares about us. So if you don't get much more out of this service, be sure to know that Christ cares for you. Christ cares for you. Even the whole world says something different. Be sure to know Christ cares for you. This is what the Bible says. And period. Jesus cares about all of us. And even thought he was tired, he looks at this woman, the Bible says, and Jesus sees someone who is not just thirsty, physically thirsty, but spiritually thirsty as well. Jesus sees this. He sees that in you and in me. And friends who are worshiping with us through Facebook, Jesus sees your thirst this morning. So Jesus started this conversation with her. He started by asking her for a drink of water. She expressed her surprise that a Jew would ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water. And he responds by taking the conversation to an unexpected place and level, as Jesus always does. He always does that because he's searching for our heart. He offers her water of his own living water. So Jesus says to her, "Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never thirst. The water that I will give will become become in them a spring of water gushing to eternal life, flowing to eternal life, bubbling to eternal life." This is the water that satisfies our spiritual thirst. I'm sure this is why you came to church this morning, to hear his word, to receive this water of mercy for whatever your need is this morning. The thirst that only Jesus can meet and satisfy. It don't matter what are the wells you are searching and looking for, they can satisfy your thirst. We all are thirst for Christ. It don't matter who we are, whether you are younger or older, whether you are this or that, we are all thirst for Christ. And until our thirst is quenched by God, satisfied by God, we will run from well to well and drink and never quench our thirst. Only Christ can satisfy our spiritual thirst. And as a Christian believers, we are to let people come to Christ. As a Methodist pastor, I think my highest calling to allow everyone come to Christ. In our communion sacrament, you know, in the Methodist Church, we have open communion. And I know in some traditions, they are pretty strict who can take communion, who cannot. That would be the last thing for me as a Methodist pastor to start selecting people who are supposed to take communion, who is not. It is as I was standing at the door and saying that you can come to Christ, but you can't come to Christ. I'm sorry, I don't like the way you look. And you are not Methodist enough. Or you are not Christian enough. And I am not quite sure about your background, so maybe you want to wait a little while. That is not our calling. Our calling is to ask people to come to Christ, because only Christ can satisfy our spiritual thirst. We all outsiders, but we be united by the wounds of Jesus Christ. And until our thirst is quenched by God, we all walk from one well to another, searching and looking something to drink. We will drink from the wells found in this world, and they are many different kinds, and we don't have to even go naming what they all are. We all know what we are talking about. We will be like a person sailing in the middle of ocean and saying to himself, I see nothing but water all around, but I know that I can't drink that water because it is not going to satisfy my thirst. It's going to kill me. But then we hear Jesus' voice. Everyone who drinks of this water, Jesus says, will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. That's the water of mercy. Did you come to church this morning to get a little bit of this water? The water of mercy? Said, Timo, that's why I'm here for this morning. That's why I'm here for this morning. Secondly, there are wrong wells. We all know that. And then this lady was having the moment of truth. Let's go back to our text. So the Samaritan woman is thinking that this sounds wonderful. Jesus is offering something special. There's response in her heart right away, immediately. So she requests the water Jesus offers. Then Jesus responded with another surprise. Another surprise. Here's what Jesus says. Go call your husband and come back. I see you alone. I believe you are a married woman. So why don't you go and get your husband here so we can talk to him as well. It turns out that there's no husband. Why would Jesus do that, actually, as a matter of fact? Why won't Jesus just give her that water he's offering and let her go? Why not simply just baptize her with that well water right there? And then inviting maybe this lady to join with him and disciples on their journey. Can Jesus become a believer without inviting her husband and then coming back? These are the questions we are thinking about as we are reading this narrative. It seems to me and seems to us very important to Jesus to confront, to deal with her and with this truth before he offers his water, living water to this lady, for this lady. Why is it? Why is this so important? Was Jesus mean? Did he want to judge this lady? Insult her? What was going on? You know, the Bible says, Jesus says that he did not come to judge, but he came to save. In last Sunday gospel reading, according to Gospel of John, same gospel, just the chapter before, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son to judge the world, but to save the world. So we are to believe that Jesus was not passing judgment, but he is wanting to save this lady. So it seems like important for Jesus to deal with this very issue of lack of husbands, or many, too many husbands, however you call it. Because in order to truly be set free, Jesus wanted her to repent, to empty her wounds and hearts to Christ, to receive the water of mercy, and to be healed, and to have way to move forward. And this is exactly what this lady did. Because in order for us truly to be saved and freed, Jesus knows that we have to give up on all the false wells in our life. By the way, one of the words that is so very misunderstood within Christianity is the repentance. When you hear the word repentance, you say, don't pass judgment on me. Why you judge me? Why you are judging me? And we don't understand that the repentance is the greatest gift from God. You can't repent on your own. You can't change your heart on your own. You can't change your course on your own. It is act of Christ. It is act of mercy that you repent. You come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want to repent. Teach me how to repent, how to change my ways and my course. And Jesus tells you gently how to do that. Repentance is an act of mercy. We can't repent on our own. It don't matter. You would see people come into church all the time, repenting, and they don't have no idea what they are doing. Repenting is responding to Christ's invitation of grace. So the wells that we think will fulfill or satisfy us, our spiritual thirst, are many, but they will. There's only one well that will satisfy us. It's the well called Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. But there's one more thing, not least, but last. We see that this lady was leaving her jar behind her. How about we? Are we leaving our water jars behind to find something totally new and much deeper? Actually, I love the next little detail in this story. It is this. Actually, it is to prove that the woman is ready to leave her false wells behind. When the disciples return to the well, this woman leaves her water jar and goes back to the city. She leaves her water jar. That's what the stories tell. She leaves her pocket behind her. Why in the world did you forget your water? Why would she do that? I think this is very important, this detail shows that the water is not what this woman was in search of. She was searching much more than just water. After seeing Christ, after hearing from Christ, after being forgiven by Christ, she was ready to leave everything else behind her. And she ran to the city and she became evangelist for Jesus Christ right away. She went to one person to another and she said, I have met somebody. I believe. I wonder if he's the Messiah. He knew everything about me. The whole life was like an open book before him. And he really set me free. Now, some people in the community may believe that she would be the last person to be a missionary for Jesus Christ. But she was chosen by Christ himself for that noble job, to witness and share good news about somebody who gave her water of mercy. Now, this is a good example, something to take home for us. This is good story to us to reconsider our heart this morning. It puts us in the place where we can search for our, do some soul searching. Who we are for Christ, who we are to other people. Are we judgmental? Are we passing judgments before learning to know people where they come from? We shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be merciful. We should be thankful to God that he reached out for our hearts and our lives. We were all gone and out, but one day Christ came into our lives and hearts and changed it. And this is what we learn today. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship time through the ministry of giving. If the ushers can come forward.